Well, if you will turn to Ruth chapter 3 in your copy of God's Word, we'll get a little preview, an Old Testament preview of the very things that we just worship together through song. This is about a little preview of our Redeemer and what it means to experience redemption. So we're in the book of Ruth, and Ruth has been gleaning in the field of Boaz through the course of the barley and wheat harvests, and now we pick up the story, chapter 3. I'll read the whole chapter for us today. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, "My daughter, should I not seek rest for you that it may be well with you? Is not Boaz our relative with whose young women you were? See, he is winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor. Wash therefore and anoint yourself and put on your cloak and go down to the threshing floor, but do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. But when he lies down, observe the place where he lies. Then go and uncover his feet and lie down, and he will tell you what to do." And she replied, "All that you say, I will do." So she went down to the threshing floor and did just as her mother-in-law had commanded her. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was merry, and he went to lie down at the end of the heap of grain, then she came softly and uncovered his feet and lay down. At midnight, the man was startled and turned over, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. He said, "Who are you?" And she answered, "I am Ruth, your servant. Spread your wings over your servant, for you are a redeemer." And he said, "May you be blessed by the Lord, my daughter. You have made this last kindness greater than the first, in that you have not gone after young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you ask. For all my fellow townsmen know that you are a worthy woman. And now it is true that I am a redeemer, yet there is a redeemer nearer than I. Remain tonight, and in the morning, if he will redeem you, good. Let him do it. But if he is not willing to redeem you, then as the Lord lives, I will redeem you. Lie down until the morning." So she lay at his feet until the morning, but arose before one could recognize another. And he said, "Let it not be known that the woman came to the threshing floor." And he said, "Bring the garment you are wearing and hold it out." So she held it, and he measured out 6 measures of barley, and put it on her. Then she went into the city. And when she came to her mother-in-law, she said, "How did you fare, my daughter?" Then she told her all that the man had done for her, saying, "These 6 measures of barley he gave to me, for he said, 'You must not go back empty-handed to your mother-in-law.'" She replied, "Wait, my daughter, until you learn how the matter turns out. For the man will not rest, but will settle the matter today." The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Our Father in heaven, I pray now that the words of my mouth and the meditation in our hearts will be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, did you see the Bethlehem Times this morning? In the want ads, widowed Moabitess seeks hardworking man of character for long walks in the barley fields and quiet evenings by the fire. Must like children. Mother-in-law suite would be a bonus. No, that did not appear in the Bethlehem Times this morning because that is just not the way it would be done in the day and age of which we are studying in Bethlehem. But Naomi decides it is time to put her mind to work to find rest for Ruth. And so I want you, even from the start here, note the priorities in Naomi's suggestion. Naomi, her mother-in-law, she says, "My daughter, should I not seek rest for you that it may be well with you?" She is concerned. She's concerned for Ruth. Ruth has been a faithful daughter-in-law to her, and she is concerned to find her rest. That means to find her a husband where Ruth can thrive. Love's pursuit of redemption is the theme throughout today, throughout this sermon, throughout this text. And this is a mysterious plan that Naomi has devised and set forth. But we're going to continue with that theme of hesed, biblical love, steadfast love, loving kindness. And this is going to be, this is about redemption. This is one of those stories in the Old Testament where we get a little hint of the redemption that will come in Christ. Now, the word redemption means securing of deliverance or freedom by the payment of a price. Redemption costs something. Jesus redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, so that anyone who comes to the Father can have that curse removed. And so we're going to think about love's the way that love pursues redemption. Our 3 points of how we'll look at this. And love's plan for redemption. Love plans for redemption. It's active. Love takes risks. Love is pure and promising. The first chapter took place mostly on the road back to Bethlehem. The second chapter took place in the field. This chapter takes place at the threshing floor. And we see that our God is a God of mystery, a God of suspense, a God that gives us interesting stories. He doesn't just give us a dry law book like you might find at an attorney's office. He gives us a Bible filled with all kinds of literature, and this is a story, a true story, of the history of redemption and the part that Naomi and Ruth and Boaz play in it. So, love's plan for redemption. Now, somehow Naomi knows what's going to be happening that evening, that Boaz is going to be at the threshing floor. I don't know if you caught that. Somehow Naomi knows this. So she is. She doesn't just stay there quietly in her home. Maybe bitter is already beginning to be an improper, just isn't. Maybe that name is already beginning to fade from its usefulness. Mara, that is, bitterness. Because she knows that Boaz is going to the threshing floor that night. And she says in verse 2, "Is not Boaz our relative?" Now what she's getting at here is he is our Goel, our Redeemer. And so he is someone who can, within the family system, bring rest or bring peace for Ruth. Now, this is not specifically the levirate marriage, which is that marriage in the Old Testament where God, under the Old Covenant, provided for if a brother, you know, if a member of a family died with, and his wife had never given forth children, then his brother would marry the widow and would carry on his name through her children. Now that is not, you know, this is something that is not specifically, now it obviously relates to that, and if you want to look at that, Deuteronomy 25, 5 through 10, and in Leviticus 25. This isn't specifically that, but this is obviously something that the Goel, the Redeemer, within the family structure could seek to carry on the name. Again, there's no specific relationship to Mahlon, but nevertheless, so we have a Redeemer that Naomi knows about. And so, knowing that it's a time of harvest, there would be festivals to some degree going on, celebrating this harvesting. And so she says, okay, look, somehow she knows Boaz is going to be there. So she has a plan. Love plans for redemption. So she has already thought this out. She says, Ruth, verse 3, wash yourself, anoint yourself, put on your cloak, go down to the threshing floor. And then she gives her this little plan. So she's like, you're gonna get ready. I want you to be attractive, to get put on that way that a woman would, to be attractive to a man. But she says, then when you go there, lie down, watch, go there secretly, lie down, uncover his feet, and lay down at the foot of where he lies there, and wait, and he'll know what to do. And so she says, all that you say, I will do. Uncover his feet. We're going to see what is going on there more biblically and in the Hebrew culture. But to be honest, we're not totally sure. Commentators have different ideas of specifically. But undoubtedly, it is symbolic for marriage. We're looking for marriage here. And so maybe it simply means that he'd be more likely to wake up with cold feet. And again, we use that word cold feet. I looked, and it doesn't appear that our use of he's got cold feet relates to this, but it certainly seems reasonable that it ought to. So there's a plan here. There's a plan. Believing in God's providence, believing in his sovereignty, doesn't mean that we just sit and wait. Part of believing in God's providence is that we believe that God ordains not only the ends, but God ordains the means to his ends. And so, Naomi, in her love and in the steadfast love God is putting within her, is making a plan. We don't just, as Billy Joseph used to say, sit like a bump on a pickle. We do things. We do things. We share the gospel. We go to work every day. We work in our homes. We get up each day with God's mercies that are new, and we do what we have to do. Well, in this case, with this widow, living with a widow, the widows themselves have put a plan in motion. What is Boaz going to do? What's God going to do? Well, we're going to find out, because this is a risky plan, but love takes risks. Love takes risks. So she goes down, and again, just realize there is risk of rejection. He could say no. There's risk of embarrassment. What if she gets caught at the threshing floor in the middle of the night? I mean, this is for us, I've read it enough now, I feel less weird than I have in the past. I mean, this is an odd story. And it's unusual, and we don't really know what to do with it. I think today you'll see that, sometimes you just have to take a risk. And so she does. But we really don't know what's going to happen. She's not assured that Boaz is going to say yes. She's not assured that this is going to work out well. And so what happens is, so she goes down there. At this time of year, they would have had all the grain. The barley would have been winnowed. It would be in piles. And so they would have been eating, and so he would be full and then ready to guard. He's going to be guarding his grain, in this case barley, from thieves. So he sleeps near it. He sleeps at the office this time of year to make sure everything works out right. So he's going to be guarding this from unwanted intruders or thieves, but he's going to find that this night there is someone there. There is an intruder, but she's seeking not to steal his grain, but to steal his heart. We're going to see if it works here in just a moment. And so she goes through the plan as said. It seems to be going okay so far. She was not seen. She lies down, uncovers his feet, and at midnight, verse 8, he was startled. He turned over and he said, "Who are you?" Again, we know enough about Boaz to know he's surprised to find a perfumed lady lying at his feet. Well, Ruth is ready with an answer. She jumps right in. I am Ruth, your servant. She jumps right in, and maybe we're just given a condensed version of all she said, but she says it very specifically, pointedly. Spread your wings over your servant, for you are a redeemer. She's humble. I'm Ruth. I am your servant. But Boaz, I want you to answer your own prayer. Back in chapter 2, verse 12, she might be saying, Boaz, you said to me in verse 12 of chapter 2, the Lord repay you for what you have done, and a full reward be given you by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. She's saying, give me a taste of that refuge. You spread your wings over me. And y'all, it's the same word. The corner of his, in uncovering his feet, it's the same word for that, cover me with your wings is cover me with the corner of your garment. It's the same word in Hebrew. So there's even visual, there's symbolism going on here. And so she's saying, answer your own prayer, Boaz, by covering me with your wings. Again, in Hebrew usage, to spread one's wings over someone was describing marriage. It's the same word for garment, to be covered by his garment, to find warmth. Ezekiel gave us a clue to this in his prophecy. In Ezekiel 16:8, he said, God says to Ezekiel, when I passed you again and saw you, behold, you were at the age for love, and I spread the corner of my garment over you and covered your nakedness. And I made my vow to you and entered into a covenant with you, declares the Lord, and you became mine. So there is remarkable initiative being taken here by Ruth. When she says this to him, she is saying, I'm coming to you and asking for your hand in marriage. And when you look at the bigger circumstance, she's taking an unusual and a risky, but nevertheless a legitimate approach in doing this. But she is, in a sense, almost demanding. She's being very forward here. Spread your wings over your servant, for you are a redeemer. This servant is now telling the boss what to do. Marry me. Give me a home. No, he wasn't obligated to do this. And in fact, this would cost him. This would cost him. So he responds. He responds. What's going to happen? He says, may you be blessed by the Lord, my daughter. You have made this last kindness greater than the first, in that you have not gone after young men, whether rich or poor. And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you ask. For all my fellow townsmen know that you are a worthy woman. I'm going to go ahead and finish what he says. And now it is true that I am a redeemer, yet there is a redeemer nearer than I. Notice how he answers her with gentleness. Notice how she approaches him with humility. First of all, say it. It worked. He has said, I will do it. He said, I will do it. Now, I just mentioned how in Ezekiel we see that God's redemption is a preview, not just a preview, when God, as a people in the Old Covenant, the Old Testament, he was a bridegroom and his people, men and women, boys and girls, all together, the covenant people are the bride. We see that as we look forward to Revelation, we're looking forward to a marriage supper where we, God's people, His bride, will come and be married to our husband, the Lord Jesus, for eternity. And so there is a application here for marriage. And so I just want to briefly mention it, this application for us to think about. And I want to ask the men, the married men among us, and I ask this of myself also, with your wife, men who are married, do you have Boaz's tone? Do you speak in the way that Boaz speaks to this woman who is potentially his wife? He speaks with gentleness, with kindness. That's what God calls us to do. You know, as Paul would elaborate on this, he would say, men, husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church. That's a self-giving love. So I want you to think about, do you speak and act with the tone of Boaz in your marriage? And I guess for the women in this case, I particularly want to think about the men today. Are you willing to receive then that gentleness, that servant leadership, if we want to discuss it that way? And if you're not speaking with the tone of Boaz, then we have to repent and change and receive forgiveness and ask our wives for forgiveness and ask God for forgiveness. But in this case, Boaz is a good example for us as men. And again, our marriages are to be a picture of Christ and His church. Christ gave Himself for us. But notice again, as a part of this, there are... We see the kind of people that Boaz and Ruth are known to be. People of character. Their reputation goes before them. They are the same in public as they are in private. They are the same in private as they are in public. They're God-fearing, a God-fearing man and woman, each of integrity. And it's people know about it. People know about it. As Paul Miller kind of imagines, as Ruth comes and goes, he imagines them saying this: "Do you see how early she gets up in the morning?" The men observe of Ruth. "Do you see how late she gets in at night? I still can't believe she walked away from her country to be with Naomi. Have you seen the difference in Naomi these last couple of months with Ruth helping her? She's back to her old self again. I saw her laughing. Ruth is attractive, but I've not seen her flirting with any of the guys. She stays really close to the women. Someone ought to fix her up. She'd be a real catch." Kind of Paul Miller's sanctified imagination imagines maybe how they observe her. She has a good reputation, a worthy woman, a woman showing some of those characteristics of Proverbs 31. And so it has worked. It has worked. The scheme has worked, but there is one problem. Boaz is a man of integrity, and so he has to say, there is a redeemer closer than me. There is someone else who has the first rights to you within this family plan of redemption. And so we're going to have to wait till next week to see how all this works out. But Boaz has said, I've got to give him the first opportunity. But if he says no, then I'm your man. I'm your man. And so the risk has worked out. Praise the Lord, right? But finally, and again, this is sometimes we just need examples like this. We need examples of God's law being followed. And so my last point is, love is pure and promising. It's true and it's right to remember the commandments For example, you shall not commit adultery. Of course, fornication is included in that. Be holy as I am holy. But sometimes we just need to see it worked out. And so we're seeing holiness and purity worked out right here. First of all, he says, someone else has first choice. I'm going to give him that choice. Perhaps that's one of the reasons Naomi went about it this way. She knew that Boaz was never going to... And I know some of you ladies know your man is the same way. You gotta push him, right? Please go ask for directions. Back in the day, before GPS. Please. So they got to get a little fire under Boaz. But I want you to know, and this is where. Again, as believers, it seems mysterious, and it seems, and you know what? She did sneak down there. She snuck down there so she could do this in private. And God worked it out. And notice there is nothing unwholesome whatsoever takes place. But because they're God-fearing believers, and they have had this unique kind of opportunity to, again, to do, we'll just call it the Lord's business. Well, to make sure that no one sees her walking away in the broad daylight, wondering, well, what, you know? So she leaves under the cloak of darkness, not because she's done anything wrong. Because she hasn't done anything wrong. The Bible is very realistic, and it calls things like they are. And so so there'll be no hint of wrongdoing. She gets up. I mean, there's nothing like, I want you to know, like, there's nothing wrong with this. She slept at his feet. They got up and she went home. And so I just want you to notice that. There's purity going on here. And this is just an example that it's okay to think and to do things sometimes. And you know, when we're in a situation to, they both realize, yeah, this is the right thing to do. She lays down until morning and she then prepares. But love isn't just pure, it's also promising. It's also promising. Boaz says, hold on, before you go. He sees her get up in the dark. Says, hold on, Ruth. Get your cloak and hold it out. He's got to give the woman who came home empty. Once again, he's got to let Ruth go home full. So he fills her garment with barley, 6 measures to take back. You can't go back empty-handed to your mother-in-law. No, again, put yourself in Naomi's shoes. She's still a poor widow. The only reason they're eating is because Ruth's going out and picking up the food off the edges of the field. Now, we know God's at work through Boaz. He's been throwing out extra. But for us, this little bit of, you know, we just say, okay, she sent her home with some food. No, for Naomi, that was a bigger deal than just sending her home with some food. God is continuing to provide for her. We can miss it in our days of plenty, where we can get upset about gas prices. Because we almost, all of us in here, have a vehicle or maybe more than one, and that we drive around and can go anywhere on. What do they call those? Second world problems. So we can miss the glory of this. This little, one more little token of God's providence and God's care. When I was studying this week, I heard an illustration that kind of shows the difference of how something so small. When the Grapes of Wrath movie came out, Joseph Stalin was still the dictator of Russia, of Soviet Union. It was becoming the Soviet Union if it wasn't already. And he wouldn't allow the Grapes of Wrath to be played on theaters in the Soviet Union. And I don't know if you remember from reading the book or from seeing the movie, but apparently the movie, it looks awful. It's like there is nothing sort of attractive about this. I mean, he said it would have made America look awful, you know, poor and just dark and bleak. But Stalin said, but
They have trucks, vehicles. And even this old jalopy of a vehicle, apparently in the Grapes of Wrath movie, would have been subversive to Joseph Stalin's plan for the wonders and the beauties of socialism. That I can't let them think that everybody's supposed to have a car. So he wouldn't show it because of that. So you think, that old piece of junk is so important that he wouldn't let the movie be shown? Well, yes. For them, it would have been, they would have given him a little hope. Maybe we could own a car one day. So that little bit of barley, it gives a little hope. Love is pure and promising. And so, when she arrives home, I have to point out, sometimes our English translations don't give us this. Naomi actually says, how did you fare is a cleaning up of the language. She actually says, who are you? Boaz, just a few hours before, had said, who are you? Now Naomi says, who are you? Well, we're seeing God is using Ruth. She is God's woman, a part of God's plan to bring about the redemption of his people. And we're going to, I got to wait. I'm just bubbling to talk about next week and even the next week. But we'll leave it with this. We're going to find out one day, and we already know spiritually, we're going to find out in fullness that Jesus is truly our kinsman redeemer. We're going to be looking at that, obviously, when we come on Palm Sunday and Easter. But our kinsman redeemer, just as Boaz is telling her, and I'm going to spell this out next week, but he is saying, I will be your redeemer. Well, it's going to cost him something. We'll talk more about that next week. But I just want you to know, our redeemer, for the joy that was set before him, the greater Boaz, Jesus, he endured the cross. He despised the shame. He is now seated at the right hand of the throne of God, from which he always lives to intercede for us. He provided redemption for us from our sins, not only paying the price himself, but even saying this, in the coming ages, Paul will tell us Jesus wants to show us the immeasurable riches of his grace. And so, brothers and sisters, trust in Jesus, your Redeemer. Brothers and sisters, learn from the examples of Boaz and of Naomi, and let us rest in Christ today. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for these pictures we get of redemption. And so I pray for us, make us more and more, each one in this room and each one joining by Zoom, make us more and more the men and the women, the young men and the young women, the boys and girls that you want us to be in Christ. We pray this in his name. Amen.